If it feels like no one understands your problems or cares to listen, if it feels like there is no one else in this world who has gone through what you have, if you feel like you're so close to giving up on your goals, your business, your ideal life, but still holding on, Cafe with Monica was made for you. I'll show you how to deal with the everyday and not so everyday situations that surface in the lives of millennials. By sharing my experiences and knowledge, I hope to inform, inspire, and provide solutions to problems that may seem out of reach. So grab your coffee or drink of choice and let's just talk about it. Okay, guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm really excited because I have a friend of a friend, Daryl. So the way we met was actually through a mutual friend, and you all might know her. She is not a stranger to this podcast, Miss Devin Walker. And Devin always spoke highly of you, first of all. She would always say just how you've always been there for her. And I'm like, okay, I really need to have this guy on here. She said that, you know, I think this is the right person to bring into your podcast, and just because he's always been a motivator. So
that's family. So I'm glad to know that message is consistent.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, Devin.
Yeah. And I know we tried to do this about a year ago, but I think, you know, timing is everything.
Yes.
And so I'm just so glad that we're at least here. You know, made the commitment, and I'm just really excited. But okay, Daryl.
Yes.
So I need you to tell me a little bit about just your individual journey. Like, who is Daryl? Who are you for the people here in the podcast that don't know?
Yeah. So Daryl Wyrick, I'm from Texarkana, Texas, which is how me and Devin met. So we were in high school. I believe she's like three classes behind, or two, whatever. But high school, Texarkana, Texas. So country, got a little country twang to me. Went off to school in San Antonio, UTSA, on a track scholarship. Did that for 5 years. I was redshirted 1 year. And I had this dream of going to like Hollywood. I said, I'm going to LA. Hey, we about to make it big. Blase, blase. I got to looking at the cost of living in LA, and I was like, no, sir, we cannot do that. And so then I was like, let me try grad school. Like, what? What's this going to be about? But I had always said I was going to be one and done, because I didn't really like school. I never really read books, which we'll talk about that part later. But I went on a whim, applied to grad school, got into grad school. Then this whole idea of like leadership development, kind of fell in love with that. And so did that, graduated from there. And I said I wanted to work at a private school. I wanted to be in Dallas. Like, I was like, I got to get to Dallas.
Yeah.
So TCU or SMU was the goal. I ended up getting an interview at both. And then I picked TCU.
Awesome.
Then I worked at TCU, quickly figured out higher education was not for me.
Wow.
So I was like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I ran a mentoring program at TCU. So I saw that American was looking for somebody that had that program experience. So I went on a whim, applied for it. They liked me. I was like, whoa, I'm really about to do corporate world. Went there and been there since. So that's kind of like the journey of like what I do, how I've gotten there now. But like who I am, I'm at home, I'm goofy. I love music. I think I'm Chris Brown, depending on what song is playing. I think I'm Denzel, depending on how, you know, dramatic I'm trying to be. Will Smith sometimes, because, you know, it's a back and forth thing. But that's who I am.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I asked this question on a previous podcast about who were you, who are you, and who do you want to be? So I know you answered a little bit about who you kind of were. I know that we know, and I kind of said, like, you're a great friend, but if you want to change any of your answers as far as, like, who were you, and you can say whatever you want to say. Like, who do you feel you were to who you are now?
Who I was to who I am now. I kind of straddle the fence with this, but I was someone who was not sure of like what I was capable of. And I kind of just went on the whim, right? Like, just, all right, we'll try it. I guess I'm okay. And I wasn't really confident. So that's, I guess I'll just target it to that right there.
Yeah.
I wasn't really confident. Who I am now, I'm very sure of myself, like what I offer. And it took me a while to get there. It's recent, like very recent to me having that like awakening, which surprises some people. But yeah, I was a very not confident person. And now I kind of know, I know my worth.
Yeah, so yeah, that is so awesome. Honestly, that is so awesome to hear from a male. Like, I feel like so many times, and even with my clients, like I constantly have to remind them about their worth, because it's a constant struggle that we don't actually remember that men struggle with the same thing with, like, confidence and just finding who you are, career direction, all that stuff, you know?
It's a lot more common than you would think, right? Like, of course, it's that we have to, like, no, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. But, like, you go home and it's like, oh, I don't really know if I'm this and I'm that. Like, hey, bro, do you think I'm, hey, what this look like? So, yeah, it's a lot more common than, like, what people put on to, the public.
And who do you want to be?
Man, who do I want to be reminds me of, like, the how do you want to be remembered. And so I want to be somebody that's looked at as kind of like Devin said, like the motivator. That's great, because that's how I want to be seen as, right? I want to be the motivator, kind of like the trailblazer for the community, my community, people that look like me. I want to just set the standard for what Black men can be. Like, when you just balls to the wall, go after every single thing, try to elevate in every single area of your life. Like, that's what I want to be, an example of that.
That's so great. And yeah. And I mean, you talked about that in some of the roles that you have been, you've been doing mentorship. Yeah. So you've been living up to what you want to be, like being a motivator, which I feel so many times, like, people have a hard time finding their purpose.
Yeah.
You know? Yes. And so, and like, I mean, even me, like, so many times I just have a hard time finding purpose in what I want to do. And it looks like, even though you've been in different kind of career paths, I guess, you're still doing like the number one thing, which is motivating people. So I think that's so great.
And I'm not going to stop there, right? Like, I'm not going to accept a role. I'm not going to play a position where I'm not able to do that, because for me, that is my purpose.
Yeah.
Because I didn't always have that. So I had to have somebody motivate me. So my way of paying it forward is like, hey, like, even if it's something small, like, be great today. Like, if something good happens and it's like, oh, dang, so-and-so say, like, be great today. And, like, look, like, now it's, yeah. So I'm going to forever do that.
Yeah. So do you do those, like, daily check-ins with yourself? Because, you know, life ebbs and flows. Like, life is not always going to be. And I know that, I don't know about you, but 2019 for me was a really hard year. And I don't know why, but 2019 was a freaking fucked up year for everybody.
No, 2019 was tough.
And I just feel like, so on those days where you're just, you know, life just tries to kick you in the butt, like, what do you tell yourself, or how do you encourage others?
When life tries to kick me in my butt, I'm not gonna lie. Well, just being a human, some days you fall to it and some days you don't. But what I really try to do is listen to motivational stuff, like, all the time. That way that when I am at kind of like a low point, then I can replay that because I've listened to it so much. And it's kind of like second nature to, like, rely on that verbiage, that language. So I do that. There's other days where I, like, legit sit in it. I think it's important for you to, like, sit in your feelings, like, so you're not just brushing past it. And then 2 months later, you crying for no reason. And it's like, oh, I've been holding all this in. So it depends on the day, but I try to, you know, come to a point to where I can say, you'll get past this. This too shall pass. I quote scripture, like, Romans 8:28 and Jeremiah 29:11, like, will forever be, like, my go-to. Cause it's like, it's coming, it's coming. So it's just a character building moment, which is sometimes harder than other times to, like, really accept it. And when it is harder, then that's when I'm sitting in my feelings. But I don't.
But
I don't
have to, like you said, you have to sit on them. And this kind of is a good segue going into, like, mental health and mental health access and, like, minority communities and things like that. Like, not always do we have access, right? And we don't know about mental health until we finally have, until we have a family member or someone who has gone through something, like, has gone through depression or anxiety. And I mean, I don't know about you, but in my family, in my culture, it wasn't talked about at all. Yeah. It was something like, even for the men, it was a lot about, like, you're the man of the house. You have to, like, bottle that shit up because you got shit to do. You got to go to work. You can't cry. Like, it's not bad days. You got a family to feed, right? What are your thoughts on mental health and how it affects Black men specifically, maybe just your own experience?
So 2019, backstory, right? So going into 2019, I believe it was December of 2018. I'll never forget this. I was on my way to Houston, and I was riding with one of my friends from school, and we were talking about going to counseling. And I was like, I really got to get a counselor because, like, I just feel, or a therapist, because I feel like I got a lot of stuff to talk about, but I'm scared to do it. So anyway, I get on the phone and I call, set up this thing, consultation with the therapist. She's asking me like what I want to accomplish and all of this. And I'm just like, she's talking to me like, I'll never forget. She was like, if you're not for real about this, like, I'm the wrong therapist. So I was like, oh shit. Like, she really, she's really about to be digging in my life. And so that will forever be one of the best conversations I could have, because from that, I went to therapy and it was one of the best things I could have ever done for myself. And through that, like, when I made that decision, I would make sure I told everybody, like, as a Black man, therapy is probably the best thing you could do, because we grow up and you're told, like, don't cry, like, just keep going. And then you just get accustomed to suppressing emotions. And then when you become an adult and it's like, okay, like, I've been suppressing stuff for like 20 something years now and I don't know where to start. Well, if you were dealing with it like earlier, like other cultures have the ability and access to do, then you wouldn't be at this point, this breaking point that you're at right now. So yeah, what I think about it is that everybody should go do it. Like, even if you think your life is amazing, I guarantee you it's some shit you're going to talk about that when you were 7 years old, that your mama said something to you and it stuck to you and you didn't think about it till your therapist asked you a question that triggered it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And even the generational trauma, like, even just generations from generations, like, things that we're still going through, little microaggressions, like, that we experience every day. I mean, that was something that I had to talk in therapy about. Yeah. Like, somebody asking me, like, oh, how do you know good English? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, or with the political climate, people are like, oh, they're sending your people back to, you know, Mexico or whatever. And it's like, I was born here.
Yeah, fuck you.
You know, yeah, right? I mean, as much as we want to say, you know, and sometimes, like, why do we have to bite our tongue? And why? Right. And so, like, I guess, like, therapy and counseling is a safe space to be able to not only talk about, you know, like, your own personal stuff, but also just, like, everyday things that happen to you because of the color of your skin, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, but it's also really hard that in some communities there's, like, no access to it, or some people don't want to pay for therapy.
Yeah.
You know, or and it's like, but why? And people tell me, oh, it's because I have to pay this or I have to pay that. And I'm like, but you are not putting the maintenance into your brain, into your body, that it needs in order to keep on running. Eventually your brain is just gonna be overloaded with emotions and just like, it's going to need a break.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be able to do the shit or enjoy the stuff that you wanted to buy, you know?
Or you're going to, the cycle that you went through, you're going to duplicate that for, because you don't know how to operate like the correct way. You're going off of what you think. And that's what the whole generational trauma thing, like, is, I get it, but we're at the point now in society to where everyone, and I got to be careful when I say this, but like, you have access in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to therapy, I thought it was something I was going to have to pay for. And then I got to the end of it and she was like, oh, well, your insurance paid it all. So I was like, oh, okay, well, cool. This is life changing and it's free. But I didn't know that. And I was willing to pay whatever it was for the, you know, visits. But some people have good jobs. But if not, then I don't... Just see what's out there.
I think it's like, I think what you're trying to say is a lot of people make the excuse of act that they don't have access. But there are various ways. We have a lot of community resources and things like that. And honestly, it's really, do you want to make it a priority? Because a lot of people are like, I just don't want to make it a priority. It's like, don't tell me you don't have time.
Right, right. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. No excuses. You know what I mean? There's some way to connect to you improving your mental health.
Yeah, like, don't tell me that you don't have time because you have time. I mean, last year I made so many excuses for myself, like not working out, not taking care of my body. And you know, once I start, I told myself I'm going to start doing this. I can do this. And I made time for it because I made it a priority because I was in a job that I absolutely freaking hated.
Yeah.
And burnout is real. And I don't know if you've ever felt burnout or you can talk about anything about that. But like being a young professional, it's just tough because you're trying to prove yourself. You got all these other people that don't think that you're, I mean, for me, it's like, people see me and they're like, well, no, you're not going to be as great as a therapist because you're not old enough or whatever. Yeah. I don't know if you experienced any of that.
No, definitely. Yeah, actually, I'm doing that. I'm going through that right now.
Yeah?
And so I know we're slated to talk about like career aspirations, right?
Yeah.
And so this is fresh because like today, I sent out an email to the company and to the people that I work with that January 31st will be my last day, which was a huge step for me. Like, wait, what? Like, what are you doing? But I've gotten to a place to where when I say like I'm confident, I know what I bring to the table. So if I'm bringing you something that's like igniting your agenda and like your purpose as to what how you want something to move forward and I'm not getting anything back, then this isn't the table for me. I am so grateful for the opportunity to do this. But I'm not about to sit here and be unhappy and feel like, oh my God, like I'm at this Fortune 100 company. I'd like, this is all I can do. No, like bet on yourself every single time. I don't have a job lined up right now. Like I don't.
Full on faith right now. Yeah.
But I know what I'm not going to do.
Yeah.
And I'm not going into another year, another month, another day sitting somewhere where I'm like more so just going through the motions,
yeah, just,
but still putting out top work. Like, nah, it's 2020.
Yeah, it's like it's wasted energy at some point for people that are not going to be receptive to your message. And I think it's like, I don't know if some companies are just afraid of change or afraid of innovation or afraid of a different voice.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, man, I was in the same situation. Like I just felt like I was putting 150% in my job. And I was not getting 150% back. Not any percentage.
Right, just give me some to work with.
Yeah, you know, and like it was to the point where I started looking. Mm-hmm. And when right before I was going to leave, they gave me a raise. And I'm like, that's not enough. Like, I would much rather get paid less than be in this position where I'm still undervalued and overworked.
Yeah. That's just not, it's not an option.
Mm-hmm.
One of the quotes that I always say is like, what you allow will continue. And so at some point you have to put it down to say like, I'm not doing this no more. Like, this is a great opportunity. I've been able to see the world. I flew to Tokyo for $40. Like that, all of that is pointless if I go to work and I'm not happy. If I don't have like, if I'm not lit about the work that I'm doing. But you're lit about the work that you're receiving. No, it's got to be an equal balance. So,
it does.
I'm going through it right now.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's a big step.
Yeah.
So tell me, because I've actually had people talk to me about how they quit their job and, like, went to freaking Uganda. I don't know. And, like, spent 2 months there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're doing anything like that. But the way this person said it is like, well, I actually have been thinking about it for a long time.
Yeah.
And so I just want to know, if somebody who is unhappy, what was like your plan, if you had any? Maybe you didn't. I just want to know.
So for me, the plan was just to say what I'm not going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go back to like purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like whatever role, whatever position, however I'm used, like I needed to line up with my life's purpose. If I feel like what I'm doing doesn't line up with my life purpose, then like, I gotta go. What are you gonna do? I don't know, but it's gonna be something that falls within my life purpose, because at that point it won't feel like work. Like I'll legit be happy. Maybe I won't make as much money. Maybe I'll make more, but the experience that I'll be able to provide, that is going to be better than any compensation like ever. Which to some people, they might be like, nah, like I need a nice check. I need a bag. But for me, it's like, I've had the bag, but I just need happiness, a purpose, and be able to really impact lives. Like my biggest thing at American was to represent those that did not have a seat at the table that looked like me. Like, and I did that. So I'm okay with stepping away and doing that somewhere else. So.
Yeah. Cause I feel like you take that with you. Like they don't keep that. You know, like you take all of what you have and you can apply it to something else. And I think so many people, I mean, they identify so much with their job title. Right. And it's like, no,
that's
like,
not you.
That isn't
you. If you were to pass away tomorrow, they're posting it.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. I was just having this conversation with a coworker because she was like, no, I had to be here, girl. Like I had to be here because I had to see all these people and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, business will be as usual. Trust me. If I have to take a mental health day, I'm going to take a mental health day. If I say no, we were in a meeting and somebody asked me to do something and I didn't even think about it. I'm like, no,
right.
No, it's just not. Cause I used to be that person that could not say no.
Yeah.
I just was a yes.
Yeah.
Like say yes for everything, say yes for every opportunity because again, I talked to you about it, had the scarcity mindset that I'm never going to get other opportunities.
Yeah.
And that was from growing up where opportunities were limited. And then eventually I'm like, oh my God, there's a pool of opportunities. And no longer does my employer have that grasp or like that lie that tells me that they only have the opportunities for me. No, you can find other opportunities elsewhere.
Right.
Hello, my fellow millennial. This is Monica. I hope you're enjoying this episode. Quick break here. If you're new or have been an active listener to the podcast, I would love to work with you. I'm a licensed professional counselor in the state of Texas, and I have officially launched my private practice in Dallas, where I provide individual therapy both in person or online if you're in Texas. I work with female millennial entrepreneurs. I work with individuals who are struggling with anxiety, depression, self-esteem, and overall life transitions. I work with the Latinx population, and my sessions are available in Spanish. I know it's hard to just the thought of having somebody, an outsider, inside your life, but if you're feeling like you're not sure if therapy is the right fit for you, I offer a free 15-minute consultation so I can answer all your questions. It's okay to have fear. I've been there, and that's why I would love to help. I'll have a link for the 15-minute consultation on the show notes, or you can also find the link at my Instagram account at Cafe with Monica. So sign up for a free 15-minute consultation. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening, and let's get back to this episode.
Right. You just have to look, or opportunity will come to you because you'll be operating on such like a high level to where people are drawn to you. That's like, wait, you want to do what? Like, there's this opportunity here. Like, I just don't like when people limit themselves because once you acknowledge your worth, that's when other people will. If you never acknowledge your own worth, then like people will give you what they think you deserve.
Yeah. And if you walk with purpose, like I remember I just started doing my private practice. Like I do that part time and I had no clients, but when I would talk to people, I talked to people like I had my dream job. I had the clients.
Like, you're good.
Like I'm fine. Because you know, that is like, oh, okay, she's great.
Yeah.
She's got this.
Yeah.
And that just attracts people. But if you're like, oh no, I just don't know how I'm going to do this. No. Do I have those days though, where I'm like, well, where self-doubt creeps in? Heck yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you'll have those days, or maybe you're just 100% in it. But
no, I for sure have those days.
Yeah.
I for sure have them.
So I kind of want to know, what do you feel? Oh, wait, actually, no. It's something good. I think it was because I went on your Instagram. I always like to do that with my, I just like seeing what people put.
Yeah.
And one of your, I don't know if it was on your stories or something, but you were responding to a message and somebody was asking you, what do you do or what are you doing? I don't know what
recently,
it was.
Recently, right?
It was super recent.
What are your career aspirations?
Yeah, like, or
what
do you want to end up? Yeah, or where do you want to end up? Or
yeah,
something
like that. Again, I don't have like this title or this organization of like where I want to end up, but I just want to make an impact. I just want to make a generation lasting impact. Where people, it's not like you look to me like, oh, you were able to do that, but more so like you look to me and you can say like, you look like me, you came from this and you were able to do that. How can I do that?
You want to inspire. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like, so if I'm able, I don't know where that will take me, but I feel like, I've been blessed enough to get platforms to where I am inspiring people. And it's just more so like being real, right? Like in one breath, I can talk about leadership development. In the next breath. I can talk about Sunday fun day, like mimosas on end, tequila shots that I am hurt on Monday morning rolling into work. But it's just like being real, enjoying life, but also being intentional about like how you move and where you move.
Yeah. Yeah. And the people you surround yourself with, like everything with intention. I think when you do things with intention, instead of just trying to reach maybe for a goal, which I think for some people, and even for me, it's been really hard where I get stuck on goal, like goal setting, goal setting, goal setting. But I know when I make the intention to do it, I'm more likely to fall through on what I'm wanting, what I'm intending to doing, without the pressure of like, I have to be CEO of something, you know, or I have to have, you know, five clients or whatever by this time. And I want to know, like, who are some of the people, because you mentioned that you like to listen to motivational videos and things like that. Are there specific people that have just like, they have that that makes you motivated?
Yes. So I listen to a lot of Eric Thomas. I listen to a lot of Bishop T.D. Jakes, Will Smith, Denzel. Did I say Tyrese already? Okay, I listen to Tyrese. Usually on rotate, those are on rotation. Because they're real, right? Well, everybody has a story, but like this is a example of someone who has really made it out and done well and has an impact that they're seen to by many different communities as like this, I don't know, like great example of a human being. So they're solid people and I listen to them almost every day.
Yeah, and that's great. Like you're consuming, because I feel like, you know, we can get into like social media and how people, you know, people consume social media and they compare, you know, to compare themselves to one another. Like they see you, they see your life and they're like, oh my God, Daryl's got it 100%. Look at all those amazing headshots and stuff. Like that's what I think. I'm like, look, Daryl's got like someone following him with a photo, like a, with a camera, is taking some great pictures, you know? And I think like, you know, social media does that where it makes us feel like we have to compare ourselves to one another.
And you shouldn't. I know it's so much easier said than done, but people will post highlights but won't necessarily post failures. And so something that you something for myself is like I'll post that I failed at something or that I didn't get something because I think there's one, it's beauty in that, right? Like that's real. You're not gonna always win all the time. I'm not going to always win all the time. Now, I will not get on social media if I don't have a haircut. But other than that, like everything else, like I'll get on there. Yeah, I just got to have a haircut. But I've talked to my friends about this because it's getting really bad with social media, right? Like people are really getting caught up in the likes. And I remember when they were saying that they were going to take them away and people were like, oh my God, like what is going to be the point?
Yeah.
But then you also read where people are like killing themselves or getting bullied at school over social media. Like this shit is not that real. There's no need to compete. You are your own competition. Post your own shit, believe in it 100%, and then get off of it. Like, don't just sit there, keep scrolling, looking at other people's stuff. It's designed for you to get trapped in it that way.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they do everything possible to make sure that you are drawn to whatever content is being put out there. And I just feel like they listen. Google, they're listening. They for sure listen. Google Home always listening to me.
Are watching at all times.
If you're listening, send me $1 million. I really need that.
Send me a job.
Yeah, send Daryl a job.
Right.
Right now, you're gonna start seeing Indeed and everything on your phone. You're going to start seeing all of that. Trust me. You're going to start seeing American Airlines on there, all of that, which is so weird. But we talked about a lot of different stuff. I would kind of want to go back a little bit on mental health because I didn't ask you this question that I really want to ask. What has been your experience growing up with sharing emotions or even just acknowledging feelings of depression or anxiety?
So I'm going to just say this. I was raised by two Marine parents, right? So one, that is just a little bit different on how we processed emotions. But my mother dealt with it differently than my dad did. And so my mother, you know, she let me cry, whatever. My dad, like, I couldn't. That wasn't acceptable. And so after a while, I learned how to, like, process it around, like, him or like, let's just keep it broader. I learned how to process it around men, mm-hmm. and then around women. So you got to accept like the nurturing side of a woman that's like, it's okay, like you can cry on my shoulder, like whatever. And then you got it on this side where it's like you're learning how to like suppress it as much as possible to where it looks like you're not affected. But as soon as I go home, like, God damn, I've been waiting to let this out. And then you just drop your, right? Mama. So I would say that's how I learned how to process emotions as a kid. Really just, faking it till you make it home.
Yeah. And I'm curious, so like, because now you have adult male friends, right?
Yeah.
So how do you still feel like you guys are all in that suppression stage, or like, or do you feel like you can have, there's a few guys that you feel like y'all can get in your, be real about your feelings?
So some people, and what I've learned is like this journey of like expressing yourself goes mm-hmm. like way beyond just like 20s or way beyond just the millennials, because it's some older men, 50s, 60s that still don't know how to process.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say that I have a few individuals that I could like go to like with 100% raw emotion. And you go next level where you have a few where you can like, I give you about 80, but let me like take back the part that like really took me out. But if I can't come to you at least with like the 75, then I feel like there's no point in us having a relationship, because I'm not going to pretend anymore. So if I'm feeling something, I want to be able to embrace that feeling, and move on without you being like, oh, yo, we got.
Yeah.
All right, me and you ain't really, that ain't, I don't rock like that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, I have a few individuals though.
Well, that's good. That's good. I feel like everybody needs to have, you know, those people that they can really, that really supports them.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't feel supported. Sometimes it's not the support with your family, you know, coming from a military family. Sometimes that is like a tough exterior mm-hmm. and a very disciplined. And I know that that's just how kind of things have to be. But I'm glad that your mom kind of allowed you to be able to express yourself, and that, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna add the part that so she did, but so last year my dad passed away from pancreatic cancer, which was that was a tough little thing for me to process, because we hadn't processed a lot of the stuff that we went through like as I was a kid and he was like growing up as a dad, father. And so that was really tough for me, that I had to like process stuff. I had to like let shit go that I had been holding on to say like, oh, one day we're going to talk about it, because pancreatic cancer, it moves quick. So like I'm not going to bring this conversation to you right now, because I'd rather just enjoy like the moment of you being here, because I know you don't have long left. So that was an important moment for me to learn how to like process my emotions, because it's like, dog, what shit really matters? Like, talk about that. And if that does not matter, like, keep it moving. But really cherish this life right here. So, yeah.
So, I'm wondering, you know, because you waited, like, until, you know, the end. And I know it was an unfortunate ending. I'm so sorry about that. Do you wish, or do you encourage people to just have those tough conversations, you know, sooner rather than later? Or do you feel like, you feel like, you know what, it was actually the right time to have that those types of conversations?
I would say try to, in order for you to have a successful conversation, especially when it's something that's like years in the making, both parties have to be ready. So mm-hmm. I would at least try to, and if not, say your part, and then leave the invitation for like, when you're ready, I'm here. And I wish that would have been something that I could have said to him, because I had the knowledge of like mental health and like going to see a therapist and all of that, mm-hmm. whereas he hadn't.
Yeah.
He was too prideful for that.
Yeah.
So just me taking that moment to say like, this, you know, hey, I'm here, but this is what I want to talk about. That would have been beneficial a little earlier. So
yeah. And I think it's also because I had something similar to that, as far as having to have a tough conversation with a family member, a parent. And when my therapist told me, you have to go in there with no expectations.
Zero.
Like, you're going in there, and I'm like, no, but I want them to acknowledge what they did and how, and the hurt and the pain. And she was like, no, like, this is for you.
Yeah.
But know that it's not about them. It's about you.
Yeah.
Like, yes, they did shit, but you have to let it go.
You have to walk away free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it took me a year to be able to, like, okay, no. And there was so much afraid. We had to, like, kind of, like, untangle some of, like, these fears of losing. Because sometimes I didn't want to lose a parent by having a tough conversation. And I think that's what some people, some, like, adults now who have, you know, gone through maybe some trauma or anything like that, they feel like, I don't want to open up those wounds. I'm just want to move on. But we carry those.
Yeah.
And it's like, who tells you you have to carry that? Like, you know, you know? And so I'm glad that you guys had a conversation. Do you feel like it was healing for you even just to be there for him?
Yeah. Yeah. It was probably when I didn't realize the impact of what I was doing until afterwards, but I was like, that was a moment where I really went from a boy to a man. Like, I'm legit moving like a man should move whenever he's losing his father or losing a parent. Because that's one of the toughest things. You get a lot of things. You have a lot of cousins. You may have a lot of aunts and uncles, but you legit only get one time to get it right with a parent.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was eye opening for me to do that. And not having those answers. But I will say one of the best things that I could have gotten, which this I felt like a 5-year-old boy in a candy store when he told me, but he told me he was proud of me. And I was like, I didn't even know what to say, or like, I don't even think I said anything. I just kind of froze, because even through like all athletic events, like everything that I've done, I've never heard the words like, I'm proud of you, because he was usually just the one to like push me to like do more. Like, oh yeah,
like this isn't it. You still got next meet. You got more in you.
Yeah. And so for him to say he was proud of me, I was like, oh shit, you've been watching. Okay, cool.
That so, acknowledgement.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. And so I didn't need anything else really, because at that point I knew you had been watching. And so you don't need to talk about like how you and my mom split. Like, I don't. You did the best you could that you knew how, and that's it.
Yeah, I think everyone's operating with what they know and how they know how to cope. And it might not always be the right way, the healthy way, but I mean, our parents are just try their best, right? And when we have children, it's just going to be like, we're just going to have to try our best.
Right?
Like, yeah. I don't even want to get there, because that's like another terrifying topic. But because we're in this subject of family, in what ways do you feel friends and family can support one another during maybe times of like where mental health is maybe not where it needs to be, you know?
The best way for them to support is just by being them. Like, whenever you're going through something, you just need somebody to be there and be real. Like, we all live lives. We all have that mask that you know, go into the world with. So when you're down about something, you just want somebody to be real. Hey, man, like, hey, I really don't know what to say. I don't know exactly what it is that you're going through. But, hey, I'm right here. Like, whatever you need. Did you eat today? Like, what do you need from me as a friend? And not giving what you think they need. That's the most important thing. But that's how you have to be. And for family, it's really just, I don't know. Family, just, you have to just at the baseline, just operate with love. Really, family and friends, like, operate with love and you can't go wrong.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great advice.
Yeah.
Okay, so I really want to ask this. So what are some things that are coming up that you're super freaking pumped about? Just tell me, like, I just want to know what's coming up.
Yeah, I'm super excited about this one, because I just talked about the idea of me leaving American, and it's like, okay, what am I going to do now? This is an opportunity for me to actually go after the things that I've said I wanted to do, but I've used that cushion of like, oh, I'm in corporate America. Let me work my way. I got time. So Unravel the Pages. In 2018, I read 31 books, and I would do a book a month and invite people to join me virtually for a book review every week. So after that, I was like, I don't really want to do that anymore. I want to do more of an interview series. Because if you think about it, we don't have any like platform for a young black male in an interview series. I remember Montel back in the day, but like that is no more.
No.
And I remember, well, Steve Harvey now, but Steve Harvey didn't start as a black male talk show host. Trevor Noah, that's different because that's not the platform I'm talking about. But yeah, so I wanted to do that. So I have some controversial topics that I want to talk about on this show. I want to talk about, well, no, you'll just have to wait. But oh my that's gosh. Coming up.
But
that's
like, what's up. The platform? So can you just at least give us like, what is it, a podcast? Is it a
so
YouTube
it's
channel?
It's going to be like legit a talk show, but it will be on YouTube, IGTV. I'll do certain clips on Instagram. So I'm going to start out with 5 episodes and then we'll see how it goes. And then from there, we'll do, it's this idea of Unravel the Pages Unplugged. And that's where you just get a bunch of people together and we just, no script, no nothing. We just talk about a topic.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, that's
so great.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I think that it's gonna happen. It's going to be so great. And I'm really excited to tune in because I just love young people, not even young people, but just like professionals and people having conversations that are controversial.
Yeah.
Because we need to have these conversations. I mean, this is why this podcast is all about. It's just having the tough conversations that nobody wants to talk about.
Raw and real.
Yeah. I have one last question. Okay. And this is the question that I ask all my guests and it always just hits them like, what do I say?
Okay.
But it is, what is one topic or thing that you wish people would talk about more that isn't talked about enough?
Well, we already talked about mental health. So there's that's usually my go-to. But I will say as a black man defining like what is a successful black man or like what is a man, unpeeling that because there's so many definitions of what a man is. Like, oh, a man is supposed to provide. Okay, like, cool. It's a lot of men that provide that ain't really about shit. So like what else? A man is when he gets to the career, he gets the American dream. Okay, it's that American dream is not my American dream. Mm-hmm. So kind of figuring out like what that baseline of what makes a successful black man.
Yeah. And I feel like, I mean, personally, I think we all define our own success, right?
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, getting into just like the deep of that and why are we holding on to past like cultural norms or what we think should be a successful black man should be. Because we, I mean, if you were to tell me, what do you think is a successful black man is? I'm thinking Will Smith. I'm thinking Will Smith, you know. But for some people, it could be, the man who stayed with his children through everything, you know, or a single dad. Like, you know, it all just depends on what you define success.
So actually, I'm going to edit that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just take out successful. And I'm going to just say what makes a man.
Yeah.
Right, just baseline. What makes a man?
That's awesome. That's great. Well.
So you got to talk about that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be listening
to
for that.
About it.
I'm going to be listening for that next topic.
Talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Daryl. So tell us where, if people want to connect with you, find you, maybe ask you questions. Tell us where we can find you.
All right. So on Instagram, I am @_DWO6. That name might be changing pretty soon, so you gotta hear up and follow because we got some things coming up. On Twitter, it's the same thing @_DWO6. Facebook, Daryl Wyrick. LinkedIn, Daryl Wyrick. And y'all might see my brother because me and him share the exact same name, but I'm the older, better looking one, so without dreads. So
thank you for clearing that up.
That's where you can find me.
Thank you so much, Daryl. This was awesome. I really loved our conversation.
It was just what we thought it would be.
Yes. After a year from now.
Yeah, thank you. It was worth the wait.
Better late than never, right?
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Cafe with Monica. If you enjoyed the episode, I want you to take a screenshot right now and share it on Instagram stories by tagging Cafe with Monica. This helps me spread the word so more and more people can hashtag just talk about it. Also, make sure to visit cafewithmonica.com to access the show notes and resources from this episode. I can't wait for you to listen to the next episode, so see you guys next time.